I need your prayers, as I have the last 3 weeks especially, been speaking to you on the Christian home, and today I want to speak on principles of parenting according to the Bible. And I need your prayers. I've said to you every Sunday how nervous I am because no parent in this room feels like they did an adequate job. And we know we failed and all of that, but that does not mean that God's Word isn't here for us to read and learn from. I'm going to start in Ephesians 6 if you want to turn there. But I remind you as you're turning to Ephesians 6, what we've read in 1 Corinthians 11:3 about the flow chart, God's flow chart of authority. It is thus: God, then Christ, then the man, and then the woman. And in each one of those, except for God the Father, each one of those, Christ, the man, the woman, they are both in authority and under authority at the same time. Even Christ was under the authority of God the Father. And let me say one more time to you ladies, the fact that God says that the wife is to be under the authority of her husband does not mean she is not his equal, because Christ was equal to God in every way and nevertheless submitted to his Father. May I say to you again, there is not one shred, not one particle of sexism in God's holy word. Amen. It is not in there. Now, we men and women can do wrong, but it's not when we're going to God's word. Amen? Amen. It wouldn't hurt if y'all said amen once in a while. Becky fusses at me about asking y'all to say amen, but this morning I would appreciate it. And I feel like a failure before I start. Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I remind you again, that means don't unnecessarily provoke your children to wrath. Making them mind will hurt their feelings at times. Yeah, it's good for them, whoever said that. Yeah. Isn't it interesting that God doesn't ask a whole lot about how we feel about matters? I'll just throw that out there for you to think about. The world has gone completely nuts that how you feel is the most important thing, and it certainly is not. Okay, now in Ephesians 6 and other places in the Bible, God commands us parents to bring our children up to the standard of God's word in obedience to authority. Y'all, this training in the home is great training for the child when they get out of there on their own and in life. I remember very well thinking, I cannot wait to get out of my parents' home so I can do what I want. Come to find out, I didn't get to do what I want then either. You're always under some authority. I don't like to admit how stupid I was. But they're going to be under authority the rest of their lives. Teaching them to submit to parental authority in the home with joy is great training for submitting to authority on the job, at school, in life. So I want to ask you, my brothers and sisters, if children don't obey their parents, and this is their normal pattern of behavior. Now look, there's going to be times when you're going to think you're going to have to kill your kids. I know that. Been there and done that. But I'm talking about their normal pattern, the norm. If children do not obey their parents, whose fault is it? It's obvious, isn't it? It may very well be that the parents are not exercising their authority under the authority of God and Christ in the home as they should. When I see children that are really out of control, it breaks my heart. Not so much for the parents, but for the children. Because they are not being trained to function in and under authority. Remember, that God's flowchart of authority, God, Christ, man, woman, the children aren't even in that list. They're not in authority. They're under authority. And also don't forget, when we learn how to joyfully be under authority, it helps us learn how to be in authority when the time comes properly. So these children often grow up to have trouble at school, on the job, and they're in their own homes. You know what the answer is? Godly parenting. So, I've already told you about the chain of authority or the flow chart of authority. I didn't know what else to call it, but let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6 to just get a kind of a look at what the Christian home might look like. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Been reading through Deuteronomy. While you're turning there, been reading through Deuteronomy in my own personal. And I found out in Deuteronomy 25 that God does not allow cross-dressing. Just throw that out there. Just read Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, 6, 7, along in there somewhere. God does not allow cross-dressing. Can y'all even believe that that is in God's Word? Okay, but that's not my subject. I will not charge you extra for that. It covers everything. Great big book of everything. Okay, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 or so. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. I love that. You got a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's one God. Not three separate gods. Forget that. One God in three persons. And those three agree in one. They are in one mind, and who can turn them? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That sounds to me like we're not supposed to be half throttle loving God. Full bore, wide open. And if people call you a Bible thumper, say hallelujah. Or you used to make fun of people, call them Jesus freaks. Just call me, that'd be fine. You call me what you want. If I could just learn to serve the Lord, it'd be better, wouldn't it? Okay. And these words which I command thee this day. So Moses is saying, I want you to remember the words I'm commanding you. Remember the word of God. Remember the Bible. Remember the word of God. Shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them once a week unto thy children. Young parents, are you listening? For some of us old geezers, it's too late. For you young parents, it's not too late. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Diligently. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when you're sitting around in your house. And when thou walkest by the way, when you're milling around town. And when thou liest down at night, and when thou risest up in the morning. It's so funny. I wake up wide awake. Becky, it takes her an hour to wake up. She don't like it if I get up in her grill and in the morning. But I got to be a little patient. But this says we're supposed to be talking about God morning, evening, at home, when we're around about town. Y'all understand? It looks to me like God is saying that we parents should look for opportunities to turn the conversation Godward at any moment while we're living with our children. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them, the words of God, upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. In other words, it's okay to post scripture in your home. Put it all over the place. What do y'all say? Amen. This is what we should be talking about in our homes. Now, y'all, I don't think this means that you can't teach your children about hunting and fishing and sports and how to play bluegrass music. I'll throw that in there. Yeah, man. But if we do not follow this, we are not doing our job correctly as parents. I ask you, would this change society any? Amen. There you go, parents. Teach these things diligently to your children. 127th Psalm. I'm not mad, upset, bent out of shape, and I'm shaking up here because I know I'm a failure myself. So that I just read to you in Deuteronomy 6 is kind of a pretty good goal for us to shoot for in our homes. Wouldn't you all agree with that? Now, Mom and Dad, you know what that means? Mom and Dad, that means you got to know God's Word enough to talk about it. You got to know God's Word enough to use it, to bring it up. We should look for opportunities to use as object lessons. Now, don't be like me. And I wore Seth completely out. Everything had to be, I mean, I found object lessons everywhere. And I was pouring it on him. And finally Seth said one day, Dad, not everything has to be an object lesson. And he was right. Remember me telling y'all I would ease up on the boys a little bit if I had to do over? That's one thing I would do differently. I wouldn't be on their case all the time, but so frequently the parents aren't on their children's case enough. I would hate to know the percentage of homes in the United States of America where the Word of God is not mentioned all week. I would hate to know that percentage. It would probably scare me so bad. So there's the goal. Okay, now, speaking of shooting for a goal or something to aim at, let's look here at 127th Psalm. This is amazing. Two verses, verses 3 and 4. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Say amen. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Now that always is better when the couple is married. I'm sorry. That's when it's really a reward. Outside of that, children can be a bit of a difficulty. We're talking about, remember, what God is always telling us in the Bible is the optimum, the standard, the best. That's what He wants for each and every one of us. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. In other words, we should thank God for children. Thank God for children! Yeah, I know I keep saying it's hard labor, but it's also some of the greatest joy. I mean, you know, you parents say amen to that. Some of the greatest joy you'll ever have in your life is having children. Unbelievable. I sometimes wonder if that's why God wanted children. I'll just let you think about that. Okay. All right, we got children. They are heritage of the Lord. They're the fruit. They're a reward. The next verse. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. That compares children to arrows that a really good archer shoots at a target. The question is, what target are we shooting our children at? Think about it. Just to be successful in business? Just to dress a certain way or look a certain way? God forbid. I'll tell you what the target is. The target is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now, that is the goal. That is the goal for us all to shoot for. Every one of us, from the oldest of us to the youngest, preachers, everybody, we should be shooting for that goal in our own personal lives, to be like Christ. Okay. I want to remind you, we do not parent for the moment. We parent for the ultimate goal. And the ultimate goal is that in 21 years or so, you'll have an individual that's ready to take on the responsibility of fatherhood or motherhood or to be a wife or to be a husband and do that in the right way, that they're ready for that. That they know something about what's involved in that. That they've seen mom and dad set the example before them. That they've seen mom and dad set the example before them. Amen. Of individuals who are in authority but under authority, joyfully, at home. So ultimately, the goal is to conform our children as much as we can to the will of God in their own personal lives. In other words, discipleship. Now, I did not say sonship. Y'all remember my sermons years ago, sonship versus discipleship? Sonship, an individual is made a son of God, a child of God at regeneration. And then after that, now you've got the opportunity to take that individual and teach them and they become a disciple of Christ. Do you understand that's what we're supposed to be doing with our children? Do you understand? Teach the fundamental doctrines of the faith to your children. The reason Seth was so upset with me, I was going to brainwash my boys to understand the truth of God. I was going to be found trying. I'll tell you how bad I was. This is terrible. Seth, I'm still always hungry. Seth was always hungry. One time I took him to Waffle House, fed him 3 waffles, and I said, "You're going to be sick." But he wasn't. And Seth and John would say to me, "Dad, I'm hungry." You know what I would say nearly every time? "That's a good sign. That's proof you're alive. Dead people are not hungry." And you know what I was trying to teach them? That spiritually dead people aren't spiritually hungry either. I said that to them until they got sick and tired of it. So don't be like me, but do teach the truth of the Bible to your children. And parents, if you don't know it, you got work to do. That's rude. Okay, now, so let me tell you what I believe about the goal that is set before us in the Bible about parenting with reference to our children. And the goal is, are you listening? First time obedience. Obedience the first time. That's the goal. Now there's going to be times all of you parents are going to think, it's never going to happen. It's got to be the goal. Okay? And this is especially true when children, listen, fully understand what is required of them and are able to do it. When they know what is being required and they're able to do it. Parents have the right, and I'm going to go so far as to say the God-ordained authority, to require obedience the first time. Now, I know people can be saying, "Well, that'll just make parenting harder, won't it? That'll just make parenting harder." The opposite is true. The opposite. This makes parenting easier, not harder. And you know what else it does? It makes being an obedient child easier. They know what's expected every single time. There's no wishy-washy, no wondering. Y'all with me? Now you think, okay, you say, "Well, Brother Gary, you're crossing the edge." Well, maybe so. No, I'm not. No, I'm not either. Fix it. Try to prove it to you by God's word, the way God did. Did you know God did that? Did you know God required first-time obedience? I'm fixing to get there in a minute. Y'all thinking ahead of me? You Bible students? Okay. First time obedience makes it easier on the parents. They don't have to spend as much time bartering and compromising, arguing. Incidentally, let me interrupt myself. Don't, parents, young parents, don't try to reason with a two-year-old. It will not work. I see it all the time. Parents trying to reason with a two-year-old. Remember, all right, y'all remember me preaching about this so-called Christian daycare where my nephew, Cash, goes. He's 2 years old, and it's a Christian daycare, and they are not allowed to tell those children no. Well, God tells his children no all the time. Makes it easier on the parents to require first-time obedience. I'm talking about consistently now, not just once in a while, consistently. And it also makes it easier on the children because they learn to obey the first time and thus escape consequences. It's just so simple. And this leaves them a lot more time for fun and frolic. And children have to play and have fun. And by the way, parents, I know, I'm just crossing the line. When your child falls down and skins his or her knee, don't act like they need to be taken to the ER. Make them tough. Say, come on, Tiger, get up and get with it. Raise your kids to be tough. You want to know why? The world's tough. It's a tough world out there. John Wayne said, life is tough. And it's tougher if you're stupid. Now, I wouldn't say that. John Wayne said that. So we got to raise our children to be tough. So your child falls down, skins his knee. Now, if they're really hurt, I understand. And you know what they're going to do? This is so amazing. The boys used to fall down, skin their knee, and they would run by me to get to mama. Go right by me. Oh, I loved it too. Mama's what they needed. Isn't that great? By the way, there's a beautiful picture there about what the child of God needs when they're hurt. They need the mother of us all, the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the local assembly. That's what they need. Isn't that great? Oh, my. God is always teaching us. There I go with another object lesson. Now y'all are suffering the same thing Seth suffered. Okay. Now I just want to ask you also, did you know that children that are required to obey are more fun to be around? Listen to me. No one, when you go to someone's house with your children, they should not have to put everything up so your children don't destroy it. They should be able to leave their house just like it is, and your children obey. Okay. All right, now I've said that God required first time obedience, and your Bible students know when. It was at Kadesh Barnea, Numbers chapter 13 and Numbers chapter 14. Go home and read it. Now God had gotten his children out of Egyptian bondage, and I need to hurry here. He'd gotten his children out of Egyptian bondage, and he'd been telling them even before Egyptian bondage that they were going to come into the land of Canaan and dwell in the land of Canaan, that God was going to give them the land of Canaan. Remember that? So God gets them out of Egyptian bondage and brings them up to the Jordan River. And he says, and y'all, they've been told what to do. They're able to do it. There's a bunch of them. They have the capacity to do it. God has told them what they're supposed to do. They've been well trained. And God has told them exactly what he wants them to do. See, some parents make the mistake of not telling their children exactly what they want them to do. God has told him exactly what he wanted him to do. And he said, okay, enter the land of Canaan, cross the Jordan River, take the land, it's your land. I've given it to you. And you know what they did? Like a lot of spoiled children, they disobeyed. Well, what did God do? I'll tell you what God didn't do. He didn't count to three. He didn't say one, I didn't give him a second chance. Nope. The punishment came immediately. The punishment came immediately. They didn't obey the first time, and they were punished immediately. And they were punished with 40 years in the wilderness, wandering, and a bunch of them didn't get to enter the land of Canaan. There is the parental example. But remember now, they knew, they'd been taught, they knew exactly what they were supposed to do, they had the ability to do it, they had the capacity to do it, God told them exactly what to do, they were without excuse. And how many of you have seen a child that knew what he or she was supposed to do, flatly refuse to do it, knowing they were disobedient? And the parent do nothing. I know. You don't want to hear that, and I don't want to say it. You know why? Because I'm guilty myself. That's why. Okay. Y'all see how God expected first-time obedience there at Kadesh Barnea? It's just amazing, isn't it? Okay, I've done got myself out of order here. I'm going to just say here that God was not being mean or overbearing or rude or abusive or caustic or bitter, or, you know, God was not being a tyrant in Numbers 13 and 14. I wish somebody would say amen. God was not being tyrannical. You know what he was being? A good parent. That's what he was being. Okay. James 4, 17. If you're going to turn to it, hurry. It says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let me repeat that. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and this scares me because I'm guilty. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Do you realize what that is saying? The children of Israel knew what they were supposed to do in Numbers 13 to 14. They didn't do it, therefore it was sin. And it also means that when the child knows what to do and has the ability to know what to do and does not do it in honor to the obedience of their parents under God, it is sin. That's all there is to it. And it's probably sin that the parents don't make them under the authority of God and Christ in the flow chart of authority. Now, I want to give a couple, I'm going to quote a little bit of Mr. Ezo, Growing Kids God's Way, here in a minute, and give you a couple of parenting techniques that do not work, that are in opposition to this. Y'all, and this is a high standard. It's a high standard. But let me repeat. It's actually easier on the parents to do this. Easier on the child. The home, it'll be much better at home. Okay, parents. What this means is, parents should think before they speak to their children. They should think before they give a command to their children. And they should not give a command to their children unless they fully intend for that command to be obeyed. Brother Harold told me all those years ago, Gary Harvey, if you ever do learn to think before you speak, you'll think before you don't speak most of the time. Parents have to think about this. This is the God-ordained order for the home. If parents consistently give their children instructions that they do not intend for the children to obey, they are training their children to disobey. This is a serious matter. Remember Growing Kids God's Way, 17 weeks. You know one reason why I'm preaching on this so much? Maybe we won't have to do Growing Kids God's Way. But it was 17 weeks of Mr. Ezo pouring it on us about these issues. Think before you speak and then mean exactly what you say, and there better be teeth in it. I'm just telling you the way it is. This has been so abandoned by society. The schools don't make the children behave. They're not going to do it. And so often the parents that send their kids to school don't make the kids behave. If the kids get in trouble at school, the school's in trouble. Man, if I got in trouble at school, I knew I might not live over it once I got home. I thought Dad was going to kill me. God is our great example. He had been telling Israel about entering Canaan for centuries, and he told them exactly how he wanted it done. And he expected obedience because what he said was the right thing. Now, obviously, it would be horrible if parents were commanding their children to do stuff that's immoral. I'm not talking about that. Obviously. That's obvious, isn't it? For example, I'll give you another example. If it's time for your children to go to bed, and you're ready for them to go to bed, state your instructions in the form of a command. John, Seth, go put on your jammies. Go put your jammies on. Don't ask your child if he wants to go to bed. You know why? They're never going to want to. Never. Never, never, never. Now, if you as the parent, don't want them to go to bed, if you don't care for them to stay up late, don't command them to get their jammies on. Y'all follow what I'm saying? The children are not in authority, the parents are. Does that mean that the parents don't love the children, look after the children, let them play, let them stay up late from time to time? Of course not. Okay. But I will say this, too many parents ask their children too many questions about obedience. Give them too many options before the children are ready and able to even know what the options are. Y'all remember me telling you about Brother Charles Kitchens turning down the promotion on his job, right? His children were in the first grade and under, and I asked him, you remember? I said, did you ask your children what they thought you should do? And he said, of course not. You want to know why? They didn't even know what was at issue. Are y'all with me? Okay. In this way, giving children too many options, asking them too many questions. Honey, do you want to go to bed? Now, if it's okay with you, okay. But if it's time for the children to go to bed, don't ask them if they want to. Say, get your jammies on. And expect obedience. You're the parent, not the child. Everybody understand that? Now, that's not mean. That's not mean. That's parenting. It's training. Okay, when the child is on the job and the boss says, do thus and so, wouldn't you like for the child to obey the first time and not talk back and argue and say, well, I don't want to do that? Or just ignore the direct instructions altogether? Everybody understand? There's something at stake here. Actually, y'all, society's at stake. Ultimately. Okay, all right. Further, I would go so far as to say that parents who ask their children too many questions about what they want to do and all that are training their children to be wise in their own eyes. To think that the whole world is supposed to cave into what little Johnny wants. You know, the world isn't going to cave into what Johnny wants. All right. It leads our children some. It can lead our children to think it's all about them. Right? And what does Sister Sharon tell us all the time? Get over yourself. It's not about you. That's what she tells me. She told me that the other day. Sister Sharon told me that. She's so right. By the way, what's this really all about? You know who it's really about? Jesus. That's who it's about. All of this is about Jesus. In our homes. With our children. All right. Okay, here are two examples stolen from Growing Kids God's Way of parenting techniques that won't work. Number one, the threatening, repeating parent. The threatening, repeating parent. Now, okay, you're saying, well, I remember times when I've done that. Me too. But this, if this is the norm, If this is the way it is all the time, that's when you got a problem. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Okay. This is the parent who first coaxes, doesn't say, Johnny, get your jammies on. Who first coaxes and then threatens, and then bargains, and then pretends to punish, and then finally punishes, but just a little bit, not enough to really matter, or enough to really help. And what this does, it just makes a bad situation worse. That's all that does. And you know what? You know who's really to blame in this scenario? Forgive me, the parents who do not have the resolve to require obedience. And I put counting in this scenario. Counting. God didn't count to three at Kadesh Barnea. Oh, I'm not trying to be mean. Then you've got the bribing parent. The parent that bribes their child to obey. Okay, hold, let me pause. I think a bribe is different than a reward. I think it's okay to reward children for doing well. But don't tell them you're going to reward them and use that as a bribe to get them to obey. If they obey and do well, give them a reward. I think that's different than a bribe. Did you know the Bible even tells people in politics not to accept bribes? Wouldn't that change the world a little bit? Politicians that don't accept bribes. Pay me under the table and I'll vote your way. Okay. Oh, I think next Sunday I'm going to preach on salvation by grace. Bribing parents barter with their children in hopes of gaining obedience. You know, if you'll, look, Johnny, if you'll just be good in Walmart, I'll buy you a tree. Right? And then, or a threat, if you're not good, I'm not going to buy you a tree. That's the negative verse of that. Okay, and I must say, I read to you Ephesians chapter 6, didn't I? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? So that you'll get a treat? So that you'll get a reward? So that you won't get a spanking? Why? Because it's right. That's right there in the Bible. And what this does, I hate to say it, this fosters in the individual the idea that they will serve God for what they can get out of Him too. How should we serve God? We should serve God out of love, expecting nothing because of what He's already done for us. And because He's our Heavenly Father and has given us eternal life. And even if we're taken to the roaring slaughter, we ought to give God all the glory and serve Him unquestionably. Amen. We should obey God out of a heart of love, not because of what we can get out of Him. Okay. All of this is to eventually get the child. Remember now, we're parenting with the ultimate end in view. Never parent for the moment, parent for the ultimate goal. Everybody understand? Ultimately, that's the goal. I told John and Seth, though they were tired of hearing it, I confess again. The reason I'm hard on you is because one day, you too are going to be the head of a household. I was not told that enough by my own parents. Y'all with me? So that when I married Becky at almost 29 years old, I was clueless how to be a good husband, and I'm absolutely, pathetically ashamed of that fact. And I blame myself. It's all in God's Word. See, the goal is to get children. See, this is a multi-generational thing. Multi-generational. In fact, I'm fixing to read it to you. Turn to Psalm 78. This is where I'm going to close. But as you're turning to that, here's what I want to say. Too many parents want their children to be their friends at age 3. Your child is not your friend at age 2 and age 3. They are your child. They're in no way your equal, no way your peer. They haven't lived long enough to be your peer. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can raise your children right, and eventually they will be your friend. But if you don't raise them right, they may never be your friend. Amen? That's hard. Okay, let's look at the 78th Psalm as where we'll close. I don't mean in 2 minutes now. I said, this is the last place, but I didn't think we're going to quit in 2 minutes. Are we getting any ideas? Before I read here, let me tell you a story. I knew this young lady one time, and she was about 17 or 18 years old. This is not too long ago. And her parents tried to raise her right, and she had a bad habit of whining. And you're laughing because Ken Still told me I whined too much when I was 50 plus years old. So I want you to know you can whine at age 50. This girl had a bad habit of whining. And her parents taught her over and over, whining is unacceptable. And trained her out of it. Raised her up to God's standard. And when she was 18 years old, she was around a child that had a bad habit of whining. And she saw herself when she was 2 or 3. You know what she said to her parents? You know what she said to her parents? Thank you for teaching me not to whine. Now that's what I'm talking about. The friend comes eventually, not when you're 3 years old being told not to whine. Everybody understand? Okay. All right, Psalm 78. And I love this so much. I'll tell you what, let me say one more thing. Oh my goodness. Yeah, maybe I'll preach on salvation by grace next week. Or something, I don't know. Maybe get back to Thessalonica, I don't know. But it ain't going to be parenting, I promise you. I can promise you that. Mom and Dad, you must be together on these issues. Mom and Dad have to be together. Mom and Dad better not be arguing with each other in front of the children. Mom, if you think Dad's too strict, you tell him in private. Dad, if you think Mom needs to toughen up a little bit, you tell her in private. Before the children, you be unanimous. Okay, maybe we'll get to Psalm 78 here in a minute. Okay, I say to you one more time, this is what will save America. I don't know if anything else is going to save America. Politics isn't going to do it. The economy isn't going to save America, for crying out loud. This might. And if it doesn't save America, I tell you what it will do. It can save your own home from so much heartache. Now, are you going to have heartache anyway? Of course. This is no such thing as utopia on the planet. I mean, you know, everybody understands that. Okay. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. Who's that sound like? I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. You'll hear that? Which we have heard and have known. Why? Because our fathers have told us. Fathers, there's your responsibility, spiritual leader in the home. We will not hide them. What? The parables and the dark sayings. We will not hide them from their children. Now, right there, that's talking grandchildren. I got two and one in the oven. Glory to God. And I'm going to try not to drive them nuts like I did Seth and John. But I sure, you know what, one of the first things I asked James? I said, James, you haven't even won yet. I said, James, Let's hear you say predestination. Of course, he didn't do it, but I'm still after him about it. Okay. And nothing I'm saying up here today, listen, nothing I'm saying is to say that parenting can't be a joy. Actually, I think what I'm saying would make it a greater joy in the life of an individual parent, mom and dad. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Y'all hear that? And His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Okay, what it say in Deuteronomy? This is the stuff we're supposed to be talking about when we get up and sit down and lie down and run around and go around town. This right here, the wonderful works of God and Christ. Salvation's by grace. Teach your children that. Listen, when your three-year-old talks about how they love God, when your three-year-old mourns for his or her sin, tell them it's because you're a child of God. Don't tell them, here's what you got to do to be a child of God. Tell them they are. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Amen. Human beings do not love God unless they are born of God. Amen. That is all there is to it. By the way, did y'all see the sign out here? Y'all like my sign? The gospel, one size fits all. It's for all the children of God, from babies on up. Did you know that the gospel can feed the soul of a baby that's born of God? You say, well, they're not going to understand it. Well, I don't understand it all the time either. Sometimes what I don't understand feeds my soul because I know it's coming from God. Are you with me? And you know what? There's a learning curve involved here. We're all supposed to be learning more about Christ. Don't hide it from your children or from their children. Show them His strength and His wonderful works. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Did you know God even expected Old Testament Israel to make those laws known to the Gentiles? Yes, He did. But they got a bad attitude and didn't do it. Why should we do all this? Verse 6. That the generation to come might know them. That's at least three generations involved in this, if not four. Did you know the Bible's teaching is always multi-generational? And let me say one other thing, this is hard. If your parents didn't raise you this way, you've got to break the chain. You've got to break the cycle. It's got to start somewhere. That's hard. That's hard. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. I love that. Look at that. They're children before they're born. Children which should be born. And by the way, this is me. I asked Seth yesterday at the reveal. I said, okay, which of the 62 genders are we fixing to find out? And Seth said, Dad, we're just going to let him make up his own mind later. That is insane. And then they burst the balloon and it had blue confetti in it, so we knew then. Y'all, the baby's a boy now. It's a boy. Now. Now, it's not due till February something or other. I'm embarrassing Christy. It's due. But it's a boy now, for crying out loud. Okay, The children which should be born. Look, I'm keenly interested in the child that has yet to be born, the children that have yet to be born in this congregation. I'm keenly interested in them knowing the things of God. It is what will save their lives. Okay. I'm not going to finish Psalms 78, but that's where I'm stopping. Ooh. I'm preaching only Romans 8 next Sunday.